Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And well, we've seen our share of rainfall. Finally, Denise, it's the monsoon season. Some people got a little bit more, some people got a little bit less. But one thing we're all seeing is weeds, all those seeds sitting dormant that got a little bit of water from the sky, and now they're popping up everywhere.
Exactly. Well, I am, for one, really happy that our temperatures are finally cooling off.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were really hitting above 20 plus days of consecutive 100 degree weather. And yeah, we all suffer. I mean, including our plants and our landscapes out there at that time. But it's definitely remarkable on what little water and how shallow a weed seed needs to be able to germinate and sprout. And we just see that evidence coming up, and it seems to pop up overnight, as you mentioned, from one day to the next. And it's definitely the best way and the best time to remove those weeds from your landscape. We don't really encourage you using a lot of herbicides to get rid of those pesky little weeds. So, you know, use your time wisely. And when you're outside and that soil is still moist, pull up those little seedlings and take them out of the landscape. Just don't pop them down there and remove them out there. And that way you don't set seeds for future generations.
Well, the Master Gardeners still have their Saturday garden talks at the Farmers Market at Artovino's Desert Crossing. And I understand there's been a slight time change with those talks.
Yeah, definitely. We've bumped our garden talks down to 9 o'clock. So hopefully you'll be able to not have to be there super early to the Farmers Market if you're not that big of an early riser. And join the Master Gardeners out there for their garden talks, 9 o'clock. Everything else is still the same. They will man their educational booth the entire time at the Farmers Market, so you can stop by and ask any kind of question at any time during the duration of the Farmers Market. But the specific talks that are held at the patio are now at 9 o'clock.
And the Farmers Market is open each Saturday from about 7:30 a.m. to noon, so you can check them out anytime. They're at Artovino's Farmers Market in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And another thing that we're starting to finally close in on is the deadline to sign up for the next Master Gardener class. So how is that coming along?
It's coming along really great. We have a lot of interested applicants and a lot of great applications coming through my office of people interested in the Master Gardener class. And definitely we only have one more week before that application deadline does close. And then after that, we're going to gear up to have the class. Before then, we actually have what we call an interviews stage, and maybe interview is probably like the bad term to use for that, but it's just a nice way that these interested applicants can come and visit with myself and one of the Master Gardeners. And what we do is we kind of discuss the actual program and what's involved in that, because it is, you know, an intense program, not just with the lecture that they receive, but also the volunteer service and how does that, all of that count towards their certification of the Texas Master Gardener program. So it's a nice way to have that conversation. So we're looking to gear that up because our classes start the last Thursday of August with an orientation.
And it's just a really good way to find out if you are indeed a good candidate for the Master Gardener class.
If you, in fact, don't have the time to put in for the Master Gardener class, there's also the EPCC.
Oh, the gardening class
class. Yeah, that comes out. And that's going to be held again this fall.
Great.
So we'll definitely get that information out to you all if you know, your time is prohibitive of spending Thursdays in the fall with us. We'd be happy to have you at the Saturday class at EPCC.
A little less time intensive, but just as informative.
Yes.
And again, the deadline for the Master Gardener class to sign up is August the 8th at 5 p.m. And those classes are going to be every Thursday from September 4th through November the 13th. And you can find out more by going to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, or you can also call the radio station here at 880-KTEP. We should have that information available for you. Well, today, Denise, we want to talk about some August gardening tips. We are just getting into the month of August. Again, like you were saying earlier, temperature are finally going to be dropping a bit. So I think maybe we're going to start getting a little bit more garden-minded. So maybe what's one thing we need to keep in mind for the month?
Well, definitely we have to look at that fall is just around the corner. So definitely you want to make sure that you want to look out to see how your landscape plants are performing out in the landscape right now. So even though it's not really like the best time to prune, but if you do see any dying or damaged or diseased branches on your trees, it's certainly okay to remove remove those. You don't want to do a really deep pruning like you would in the winter time, but those selective branches that really need to be taken out can certainly be removed at this time.
And I think it's also a good time to maybe, I don't know, tie a ribbon or somehow mark the branch that you or the branches that you're thinking of pruning off your tree in the winter. Because, you know, if you have a deciduous tree and all your leaves fall off, you're going to think, which branch was it that I was thinking of pruning? Because they're all going to look alike. But if you've got one in mind that maybe it's a largish branch that looks probably like it's just going to be causing problems. And like you said, if you don't prune it now, you know, mark it for a time when you can prune it in the winter.
Right, exactly. It can be difficult to be out there all the time to remove those branches, but definitely you want to make sure that you mark that out. And usually a lot of times it's your lower branches that have kind of done their job now, and they probably got, you know, either shaded out by the larger branches and they've done being that food source and they're just kind of looking kind of gnarly. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on what's going on at your landscape. Also, if you're looking at some plants that you have that are maybe some little woody plants that you put into your garden and you thought, oh, this is a great spot for it, and then you realize you're going to get too much, you've gotten too much heat, too much sun, too much indirect radiation from your rock wall or something. Keep in mind on that, because once the fall rolls around and our temperatures start stabilizing, it'd be a good time to uproot those and move them over. I have a colleague that said, I have some rose bushes and I want to give them to my neighbor because she really likes roses and she really has time for them. But when do I get them out? So we have a plan in stake here, ready to go. The neighbor's going to prepare the area, the bed that she wants it. And then once fall rolls around, we're talking about mid-September, nice time to be able to uproot that rose bush and move it over and still have enough time so that you can kind of acclimate it to its new home.
And we've talked about sort of root pruning in the past. And I guess if you have maybe a larger shrub that you want to transplant or give away, root pruning means you're basically – you're sort of digging into the ground at a certain diameter away from the base of the plant to sort of accustom the plant to having, I guess, a good part of its root system sheared. You don't want to pull it out right away and then transplant it. It might suffer some shock. So root pruning, I guess you're kind of trimming out those sort of outer roots, getting it used to having, I guess, a shorter root system so that you can transplant it out. And if you're thinking of maybe doing that with a woody shrub or, like you said, a rose bush, when would you want to do that prior to transplanting it in the fall?
Yeah, definitely what you want to do is and the part about that is that you want to kind of keep what we call the root ball intact. Mm-hmm. Because definitely if you want to pull up a plant, you don't want to pull it like a weed when you just yank it out of the ground just to get out of your space. But really to preserve those roots, that entire root system on there, it's going to be impossible to take 100% of the roots with you into when you transplant that. But we're looking at an eyeball here, about 85% of the roots. So the majority of those roots are going to be in this, what we call this root ball. And you definitely want to have that intact before you move it over to the new planting area. And certainly you don't want to do that too far in advance because you don't want those roots to die out or, you know, desiccate prior to moving. But just have that ready to go with your shovel, with your spade, and it's okay. You're not going to take too much, but you can take a little too less.
But about how far ahead of the transplanting period?
Yeah, definitely you want to take that out a few days before you start transplanting that, and then that way you can start getting ready to make that move. Yeah.
So I guess another thing, luckily we haven't had to worry about it too much because maybe the rain has been taking care of it. But we've mentioned this before. Spider mites are probably still going to be an issue. And if you maybe perhaps got some heavy rain where you live, you probably were able to get some of those spider mites washed away. But if you maybe got just some light sprinkles, you might still have a spider mite issue.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the benefits of the monsoon season, is that even if you're not lucky enough to get hit with those thunderstorms and showers throughout the area, is that whatever little rain that we do get, we do wash off any kind of aphids and spider mites out into our landscapes. So it does kind of renew the landscape itself. But yeah, if you want to go ahead and remove any additional spider mites, you want to make sure that you use that high pressure wash to be able to remove them on there. And there's another product that you can use if you do need to use a more of an intensive removal of spider mites or aphids is neem oil. It's a botanical extract. It will take out beneficials, though, so you want to use it cautiously. So definitely your first line of defense is going to be that strong water pressure.
Well, I know fruit trees are something that we probably think more of in the spring, but there's sort of special care that we need to give to them in the summer. I understand they need a lot of extra care when it comes to their watering so they can perform better the following spring.
Yeah, definitely, especially when it comes to peaches and our stone fruit. We have all that crop is coming in right now and it's starting to decline rapidly. But yes, they will bloom very early next year. So you want to make sure that you don't put any kind of stress on the plant as far as watering because of where those flowers and ultimately fruit are on the branches of the fruit trees. So it's kind of difficult to have a good fruit tree crop in El Paso because we do suffer these really hard freezes. You know, every 10 years or so, we'll see a lot of cutback, a lot of dieback because of a freeze. But definitely it's something to consider if you want to add that to your home orchard.
You know, you drive through the valley and the parts that have the parts of the valley that have, you know, pecan orchards, you see them, they're finally getting their irrigation water. So you see sort of a lot of flooding in that area. And actually, this is a really good time, right, to have that type of heavy irrigation for a pecan tree.
Right, exactly. Definitely pecan trees, you need some water to be able to irrigate those to get your crop, and you don't really want to stress them anymore at this point because we're talking about the nut fill where we're going to start filling up these shucks, and definitely don't want to have any kind of water stress at this time.
Well, one thing that we touched upon in a previous show a few weeks ago was iron deficiency, and we probably still have a couple of minutes in case maybe listeners weren't able to catch on to that. But I guess iron deficiency is something we want to look out for.
Oh.
And you were actually saying, Denise, that outside our building here in Cotton Memorial, there's actually a shrub that looks like it might be suffering from iron deficiency.
Yeah, it's a pyracantha shrub out there. And when we talked about iron deficiency and the difference between that and nitrogen deficiency is that we kind of related iron as a metal, heavy metal, which I kind of think of like something like strong boots. It's not gonna move very, very quickly up the plant. So really your iron deficiency is going to show in this yellowing of the topmost leaves on your branches because that iron cannot get to that new growth, to that new flush of growth.
So it's mostly in the older foliage that'll be on the...
Yeah, the older foliage will stay green because that's where the iron can be, okay. But the iron won't be translocated to the top.
Ah, to the tops. Okay.
Yes, exactly, because it's heavy. It's not going to move.
Gravity is keeping it down.
not gravity, but we'll kind of use that.
We'll use that analogy.
Yeah, there you go. So definitely, and that has a lot to do with our soils, our soil pH, and you can definitely amend that by putting iron spray on your plant. So ironite is also a good application. You can do that to your soil as well and water that in, and it'll take it up before it gets locked into that soil. And if the plant is overall looking, the new leaves look nice and green and the older leaves look yellow, then that's going to be more of a nitrogen deficiency because nitrogen is quick, it's mobile. It's going to go to that new growth and then leave all the older leaves yellowish. So it's kind of an opposite effect, but we'll have some great photos to be able to compare for our listeners to see what exactly an iron deficiency looks like and as opposed to a nitrogen.
And I'll post those
there
on
you
the
go.
Good to Grow page along with this show's archive. And you can find those, by the way, at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page where we will also post our August tips for today. And we're out of time. We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.